Prepare to be astonished.
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Matt Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
Thank you once again for joining us. We're so glad you're here, and I am excited for our guest tonight.
And I'm already going to predict she's going to be great after last week's debacle of telling the guests that we have lots of great guests, but tonight we're going to have a good guest.
Right. So I'm not going to say that tonight.
She's going to be great. I can tell.
And my little teaser is she's actually referred to herself as a country cousin of my husband. Or maybe you referred to him as the country cousin.
I think it was the latter.
He's a country cousin. So we have Mari Bergeron here. She is the KMUN station manager, moved back in October. Welcome home.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Thanks. We're glad to have you.
I kind of feel like we need to be on our best behavior, like the boss is here.
That's true. We do. Okay, Mac.
This might be that she's here investigating.
Oh, Mac, I am not the boss of you. I won't even pretend.
We might be on the cusp of being canceled.
Yes.
She's here investigating.
She is.
I'm a mole. I admit it. I'm a mole.
There we go. Okay. So you want me to take over the show then, Mac?
Maybe.
Okay.
So, that would be even worse if they canceled us and brought you back. It would be one thing if
there are plans in the works.
Mac and Alana just stink, but then if it became the Alana show.
Yeah. It could happen. It could happen.
That would bruise my ego. And we know I don't have one. So. All right. So we'll get right to it because this is going to be jam-packed with goodness.
Let's do it.
This is going to be like the inside of a Twinkie. It's just going to be like that fluffy goodness makes the Twinkie.
Ugh, I know. Mari and I are both like,
I don't know.
Disgusting.
That was the first thing I could think of.
Yeah. Okay. I don't like Twinkies.
All right. Who does? All right. So these are, as always, the history highlights, the things that happen tomorrow, April 27th. Things to talk about in the office, dinner table, breakfast, muffins, whatever. Something to make you feel smart.
Okay. Let's do it.
All right. I wish I had a video right now. So we start April 27th, 4,977 BC.
Okay.
That's a deep cut.
That is.
A deep cut.
Very well documented, I'm going to say.
I know, to the day.
Yeah, who wrote that down?
So 4,977 BC on April 27th, this is the day that the universe is created, according to German mathematician and astronomer Johann Kepler. That's very precise.
It is.
You know, I thought looking at my diary that it was April 29th, not 27th.
That was at 1 o'clock in the afternoon?
Exactly.
Right.
So I put that one in just
because leave it to a male science or a mathematician to,
astronomer and mathematician.
Okay.
All right. 1521, Ferdinand Magellan killed in the Philippines. He's one of my favorites.
Yep. Big explorer.
Around the world, baby. Come on. Yep. Magellan. All right, I was quoting Seinfeld there.
Okay.
1773, they argue about who their favorite explorer is. And all right. 1773, British Parliament passes the Tea Act.
Boo.
Yeah. Uh-huh. We didn't like that very much.
Right. Didn't go over well.
The upside is that I get coffee in the morning.
That's true.
That's a good thing.
I wonder how many of us would have stayed tea people.
Probably quite a few.
A lot
right?
of us,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, that's a culture change for sure.
Okay, 1861, President Lincoln, and you know he's always my number one or number two, suspends the writ of habeas corpus during the Civil War. Not one of the better things.
No.
Yeah. So, Abe, we expect so much of you. Come on. 1861, West Virginia secedes from Virginia after Virginia secedes from the Union.
And that's how we came to states. Yeah. Became two states.
West Virginia.
Yeah.
Way to go, West Virginia. I respect you for that. All right. 1865. I think this one is not very well known. The steamboat SS Sultana explodes in the Mississippi River. This is 1865, killing up to 1,800 people of the 2,427 passengers in the greatest maritime disaster in United States history.
Wow.
Why don't we know about this?
I had no idea.
Because Steven Spielberg did not make that movie.
That's right. Most of them, making this even worse. I mean, I'm never going to dismiss 1,800 lives lost
right.
as anything that's
awful.
Not
sure.
just terrible and awful. but most, making this even worse, most are paroled Union POWs on their way home.
Oh.
So these guys, you know, they're in Andersonville, crazy concentration camp where they're all dying. Somehow they manage to survive that and other places, and then they die on the steamship on the way home. Isn't that terrible?
Yeah,
terrible.
Yeah. I almost was thinking about making this one the history highlight of the day. 1937, the first U.S. Social Security payment is made.
Cool.
Hey. Huge. Huge.
Yep. Paid. Yeah.
Safety network.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
FDR.
Right. Oh, there we go. He works for us.
He's always in my top 10, sometimes in my top 5.
Put Frances Perkins in there.
Yes. Oh, I like her.
She's got a top 10 too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. 1940, to balance the horrible one, or the good one from 37, we'll have a horrible one. 1940, Himmler orders the establishment of Auschwitz concentration camp. Boo hiss. What's wrong with you? All right. 1981, Xerox PARC introduces the computer mouse.
Ooh.
So what I want to know, 1981, there right. were computers before
I know.
That.
Yeah, there were.
Were we just staring at the keyboard, trying to figure out how to move things around?
Well, probably. Or using the arrow buttons. And
there were arrow buttons and there were key codes. You know, you got your control A, yes. control C, control V. It was all stuff like that.
Are you one of those people that have those things memorized and use all the
Maybe
shortcuts?
A little.
I do love those. Yeah.
Oh, I hate you
both. Don't
get
me started on touchpads.
Or Excel spreadsheets.
Excel spreadsheets have their place.
Yes, they do.
I'm not saying they're fun.
So I thought about making that one the history highlight as well. But my history highlight today, I think of the most impact. 1965, Robert C. Duncan and Norma L. Baker. Names are not ringing bells, I assume.
Get married.
On behalf of Procter & Gamble, are granted a patent for the Pampers disposable diaper.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah.
Exactly.
Set the women free.
Yes. Never once did I ever even consider using disposable diapers.
I cannot even imagine that life.
Never
of
once.
Having to clean diapers all the time.
No.
Isn't that horrific?
My mom did that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, generations and generations.
Mom. Yes.
For eons.
Yes.
This is why, give me the kid when they turn 2 and they can do the bathroom thing on their own.
Yes.
So.
Sorry. Well, thank you both.
I mean, thousands and thousands of years. But to me, that changes everything. 1965. Thank you, Robert C. Duncan and Norma L. Baker.
And that's the patent.
That's the patent.
Ooh, there's a deeper dive in that. Like, who
I think there is. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. What was the prior art exactly?
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. Well. So,
anyway, did I miss any?
No, you didn't.
And you know who else doesn't miss anything?
Mari Bergeron, KMUN station manager.
You
especially
like
when it comes to
I do, yeah.
Especially when it comes to posting podcasts. She doesn't miss anything.
Yeah. Indeed.
Well, you know, I have a little help.
Yes.
I have a little help on the KMUN team getting all of those up there.
Okay, so because I want you to hammer it at least 3 times today. If somebody wants to support KMUN, because now more than ever, public radio needs a big assist from the community.
That's right.
How do I write my check and get it to you?
Okay, well, you can write a check and mail it to us. You can write a check to KMUN, and you can send it to P.O. Box 269, Astoria, Oregon, 97103. Or you can go to KMUN.org and click the donate button. It's red. It's in the upper right-hand corner. Very easy to make a donation there. Or you can even come visit us. You can walk right into the beautiful Tillicum House at 1445 Exchange Street in Astoria. You can bring us whatever of value. Well, maybe not about that.
Maybe not whatever.
Yeah, make sure it's, you know, you got your site certificates for any ivory and whatnot. But if you'd like to come in, bring a check, a little bit of cash, something like that. We'd love to meet you. And regardless of whether you can make a financial donation, we'd love to hear from you. So, you know, tell us what you think. You can always send us an email at feedback@kmun.org.
She's being really polite, but really, send money.
Yes.
We do appreciate money. It's filthy, but it does help us pay the bills. We just had a pledge drive, and the community was extremely supportive, and we just thank everybody so, so much for showing how much you believe in us. We believe in you, too.
How has public radio changed here on this local level
Since you got here in October?
Well, I mean, well, can I tell you, Alec, yes. Just this morning, I was digging around in our Google Drive, and I typed in some keywords for something I was looking for. I found something that I was not looking for, but I'm glad I found it, which was a program guide for KMUN in 1986.
Wow.
1986. It's not that long ago, right? But anyways.
39 years. Almost 40. Okay, I mean, years this
good
year.
Good math skills. Yeah.
You're
Thank
making
you.
Me feel really old right now.
That's what I'm... That was it. Yeah. Yes, Mac. But the funniest, many funny things about that, you know, I loved seeing the old program names Here Now and you know, thinking of who was doing some of the programs, the Scandinavian Hour with Eagle and so forth. But what really cracked me up was the Monday night soap opera.
Wow.
In which I might or might not have read the part of the rebellious daughter in the Norwegian immigrant family who was in love with the jazz trumpet player.
Really?
I might or might not have done.
Oh my gosh.
All right. We need scripts.
I love this.
I hope all of the tapes were erased. I think they probably were. If not, if they haven't been disposed of yet, they will be soon.
The future programming possibilities exist. So let's go back. So you were on the radio, obviously, then. Tell us about you. You're from the area.
I am.
Where
yes.
did you grow up?
So I came to Clatsop County, Oregon at, I think, 6 or 7 months of age with my parents, not surprisingly. We had a little house out on Clatsop Plains to the south of Warrenton.
Yeah.
And so I grew up out there stomping around in the woods with my dad, riding my bike down to Cullaby Lake, all of that sort of thing, and went to Warrenton grade school. I was a member of the last class to attend middle school in the Fort Stevens building.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
Yeah, I went to 7th grade there. Shout out to Miss Holstein's biology class. That was excellent. I still remember my kingdom, phylum, subphylum, and all of that she taught us.
Wow. That's
yeah, she
impressive.
Was great. And then I moved over to Napa. My family got some property out there, and that was a big change. We moved out there, and I went to high school, 8th grade through high school, graduated from Napa.
So 8th grade is when you made that move. So old enough to, did you feel like you were leaving friends? I mean, you could still go see them, Napa to Warrenton or south of Warrenton.
But, in my car, Mac?
Yes.
And
as
an 8th grader?
Ride a bike. Yeah, I've seen the Goonies. Yeah. I know that it's only.
Right. Well, I hadn't
just
seen
around
it yet
the
then.
So, I mean, how radical of a change was it for you?
It was a pretty big change.
You're old enough to know that I'm moving and this is changing.
Yeah, it was a pretty clean break, really. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
But it was good. You know, we had had a lot of property to stomp around on and, you know, went for long drives on the logging roads, which you could do then. I always loved doing that. And, you know, there was a big garden and we planted blueberry bushes. So a lot of good things in the new life.
So you moved here when you were just 6, 7, 8 months old. What brought your parents here? Why did they move and where did they come from?
Mm-hmm. Well, previous to that, my parents had been in Corvallis, and my dad was in a master's program there, or doctoral program, I guess, in oceanography. And that's where he met Norman Quayle.
Okay. Right.
And and then he got a job teaching at the community college.
Oh.
And my memories of that are pretty limited to playing with my slinky on the steps. That's all I really remember about that period.
Okay, and of course you remember the failure of the slinkies. They never really work.
They worked a little.
Yeah, eventually they get all twisted up. And
well, I was very gentle with my slinkies.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
But oceanography, so your dad went the academic route, mm-hmm. and Norman did the same, but he kept fishing.
He went the very practical route. That's absolutely true. My dad did some fishing as well.
Did he? Okay.
Quite a bit, yeah. Yeah, he did... let's see, tuna long lining.
Yeah.
I hope I'm getting this right. Trolling in Alaska on a friend's boat. And then he had a gillnetter for a while, Columbia River boat.
Yeah, one of the few. I mean, there's not very many gillnetters that even then that there wasn't a lot. So,
yeah.
So what did you think you were going to do? You've got this dad who's academic and oceanography, you're in Napa, so you've got wilderness, you've got rural, you've got river, ocean not far away. What did you want to do with your life?
Be somewhere else. No, I wanted to travel the world, which is kind of crazy because, you know, Napa is not a big metropolitan, at least at the time, it was not a major metropolitan area. But yeah, I was a, well, if I tell you I was a funny kid, you're like, uh-huh. But I had maps up on my walls and I wanted to see the world. And miraculously, I have.
So how'd you make it happen? How did you get out of Napa?
Not surprisingly, I went to college. I ended up going to University of Oregon, got into a great program there, majored in Japanese and international studies, which led to me then going to Japan for 2 years.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And so, were you speaking Japanese at the time?
More or less. Okay. Well, at the beginning, more or less. By the end, pretty darn well, actually. Well, I think I was.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so watch this, Alana. Konnichiwa.
Konnichiwa. Oikaga desu ka?
That's it.
She does it better.
Maku-san wa? O genki desu ka?
I'll have to get my daughter in here.
Oh, okay. I love that.
So what were you doing in Japan? Like, talk about that a little bit.
Yeah,
And where were you in Japan?
Yeah, so I think some of the folks out there are familiar with the JET program.
Oh my gosh.
So I was on the JET program. And at that time, anyway, there were two positions. There was the English teacher position that was in a school. And then there was called a coordinator for international relations that would be in a government facility. And so I was in the prefectural capital of Toyama Prefecture, which is on the side of Japan that faces Korea. So opposite of Tokyo.
And what did you find? What did you get to do in that role? And how was communication? Were you understanding a lot of what you were doing and learning?
I was learning a lot. I think I was a lot harder to understand at the beginning. I think there was a lot of people just kind of looking at me and shaking their heads, and who can blame them? But over time, you know, I learned a lot. I absorbed a lot. I spent a lot of time studying and trying to figure things out. And, you know, over the course of 2 years living in a language, you know, all the time, you can learn quite a lot. So I was reading newspapers pretty well by the end.
Amazing.
And so at that point in your life, then what's going to happen next? Where was life going to take you?
Oh, I had all kinds of ideas. I came back and, shortish story short, I applied to law schools and I got into Columbia.
Amazing.
So I had worked in Alaska 2 summers already, so I did one more summer at the canneries. And I was up in Kenai, Alaska, and then 3 days later, I was in Manhattan.
Oh, my gosh.
And had you ever visited New York before?
No. I had no idea what I was getting into.
What does a kid from Napa feel about New York City?
Oh, I was pretty wide-eyed, you know, walking around, looking up with my mouth open. I would say that I had more culture shock going to New York City than I did going to Japan. And I still remember this moment. Of course, looking back, I laugh. You know, you wake up in the morning, you want a cup of coffee, right? So I went out to get a cup of coffee, and I walked and I walked. It's like, where can you get a cup of coffee around here? Finally, I found a little bagel shop and went in. I asked for coffee. They said, you want it regular? And I was thinking regular as opposed to, you know, double espresso latte with a twist, whatever. So I said, yeah, regular. So they gave me a cup of coffee with a cover on it. I went outside and took a sip, and it was full of cream and sugar.
Oh.
Like, this is regular? I don't know if I could deal with this place. But we reached an accommodation.
There you go.
So how long were you in the city for?
Yeah, that was 3 years.
Okay. What favorite things that you did in your spare time there?
Oh, my goodness. Well, one of my favorite things was being a member of those great museums, because at that time, for $35, I think you could go to the Metropolitan Museum of Art as much as you wanted, or to the MoMA, or, to the other. So I was a member of a different museum each year. And I loved just walking from one neighborhood to another. And, you know, you'd cross the street and people would be listening to different music and speaking a different language and dressed a little differently. And it was just so much fun to explore like that.
And were you pursuing becoming a lawyer at this point?
I was.
And so did you become a lawyer?
Well, I graduated from law school and passed the bar, and I got a clerkship. Mm-hmm. So instead of going right into a firm, I worked alongside a judge for a year, and that took me up to Burlington, Vermont.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. And
most importantly, when you were in Burlington, Vermont, did you ever visit the Ethan Allen Homestead Museum?
I believe I did.
Oh.
Yes. Yes. I went to a number of wonderful museums. I also went to Ben & Jerry's and the Cabot Cheese Factory.
Oh, sure.
Because, you know.
Yes, you have to. You have to do it all.
It's Vermont. You have to.
Because I'm from the land of trees, cheese, and ocean breeze. And so, you know. Ooh, got you on that one.
I've not heard that. I like that.
Well, that's Tillamook, but yeah. We're pretty close to Tillamook.
Yes. We are, yes. Okay, so at this point, so you're working for a judge. Are you considering becoming a judge now? What?
No, that really never appealed to me. I liked the scholarly aspect of it, but, you know, being in a court from day to day, you see a lot that keeps you up at night.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided that was not the life I wanted. So when that ended, I found my way down to Massachusetts because I had passed the bar in New York and Massachusetts. So I went to Massachusetts, took up residence in Gloucester, Massachusetts, which I think you know has a lot of maritime history.
Yeah.
And I commuted into Boston for a number of years. Worked in a couple of law firms for a while, but then I got an opportunity to segue into legal publishing. So I worked for a company called West, which through a series of mergers and things became Thomson Reuters.
Wow.
So I had a really good time working there. From there, so that's, you know, legal to legal publishing. And then I went from there to an academic publishing company called EBSCO. And so this is where it gets a little more interesting, because the role I had there was managing a team of people who were in 16 different countries.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And interacting with publishers in a nutshell so that we could combine their academic articles into databases that would be sold to universities and other institutions. So it sounds kind of uninteresting, but in fact, you know, the day-to-day work was just amazing. You know, I was working with these great people whose native languages were literally from Arabic to Zulu.
Wow. Hmm.
And I got to go out into the field and work with them and attend conferences. And
so you're still traveling.
Really amazing.
All over the world at this point.
A lot of traveling. Yes.
Hitting those places on your map on the wall.
Mm-hmm. And then over the years, slowly but surely, I kept thinking, you know, it'd be kind of nice to spend more time back home. You know, I thought more about the Pacific Ocean and the Columbia River and, of course, my family and friends here. And then that I got laid off. That happens. There's no shame in getting laid off. I got laid off from that job and I was thinking, well, you know, how can I make a move back to Astoria work? And I got a text from my mother. This is an event, Mac. You know, my mother. Yeah. Telling me that they were looking for a new station manager for KMUN.
Go, Mom.
So within about 15 minutes, I was on the phone to the current station manager. And as you can see, we made something of it.
Yes.
So I am just so delighted. It's been a great homecoming.
And I mean, what is it like stepping back into this world? Obviously, you've been back to visit and things mm-hmm. like that, but back to live here.
Yeah, what's that movie where the woman changes place with her teenage self?
Oh, yes.
It's a little bit like that at moments.
Right.
You know, not all the time, but there are flashes where it's like, oh, I'm 12 again.
Mm-hmm. Walking down a side street, right?
Or running into somebody and them saying, oh, last time I saw you, you were 12. Which has happened a number of times.
Oh my goodness.
That's amazing.
But yeah, it's been great. The community has been so supportive. I mean, we talked about the community being supportive of the station, but really of me too. And I appreciate it so much. It's just really touching.
So having that time capsule, even if you have come back and visited family, What major changes have you been surprised by, or just shocking that something's not here anymore, or something that is here that wasn't?
I wish I had made it back in time to sip my coffee at the Colombian Cafe again.
Oh, yeah.
I miss that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Definitely miss that. But, you know, having said that, I mean, there's always a little nostalgia, but I'm happy to embrace that story of the way it is. I mean, it's when I left, I think it was at kind of a low point. You know, it's mm-hmm. pretty gritty. And I just think there's so much art here and there's so much amazing music. You know, when I grew up here, there were a couple of restaurants and I mean, they were fine. They were good. But, you know, now it's just a proliferation.
Right.
You know, it's amazing. It's so much more colorful. So I'm in love with the new Astoria.
It feels very vibrant.
It does. It does. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, being in a role of supporting the arts is amazing.
So because we've got about 3 minutes left, I want to make sure once again, how do I make a donation to KMUN?
Okay, Mac, you can call us. You can call 503-325-0010. That'll work best if it's between 9 and 5, Monday to Friday. And you can pledge that way. You can mail a check made out to KMUN.
This would be or will be what Mac does. Yes,
of course.
Real check. Yes.
Yes, a real check, not one of those rubber checks. Real check. You can write it out to KMUN, P.O. Box 269, Astoria, Oregon. Or you can come down to the station, 1445 Exchange Street. Talk to us. Tell us what you like. Tell us about your favorite show. And if you want to hand something over, that would be awesome.
How many employees are there?
There are seven.
Seven employees.
One of whom is part-time.
How many volunteers?
About 120.
120. And then shows, mm-hmm. number of shows. And I know that varies.
Yeah, that's math. No.
Okay.
I'm not biting on that one. But yeah, an amazing number. Most of the voices you hear on KMUN are volunteers who are doing it just out of love, out of the passion, out of really wanting to serve the community.
And really serving a lot of different areas or niches throughout our local community as well, like this show, An Adventure in History.
That's right. We love you guys.
Well, and we love being on KMUN for sure. And the podcasts on KMUN and Apple and Spotify have been great.
I was going to ask what her favorite show was, but I'm not going to do that.
No.
Don't embarrass anybody.
I love all of my shows equally.
That's right.
There we go.
But what
this one is pretty special.
You've had 6 months, 7 months, 8 months to kind of take stock. And what are the biggest opportunities or biggest challenges that you've got in 30 seconds?
Well, funding is always a challenge. We've been addressing that. There's opportunity in every way. We are going to be restarting our secondary station, KCPB. So if somebody would like to make a radio program and they haven't had an opportunity on KMUN, give us a call. feedback@kmun.org. Let us know what you'd like to do. Absolutely.
And you can help with remote broadcasts, scheduling time on campus or at the station as well.
That's right.
So they wouldn't be without all support. That's great. Well, that's exciting. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Mari. We're so glad you're back in town.
Oh, thank you.
So nice to meet you. And
this has been fun.
Welcome home.
Thanks.
Welcome home. So thanks for listening. Go make some history, and we will catch you next week.
Thank you for joining us for An Adventure in History. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.